you know, do people take you seriously? Yes, they're starting to. 10 days ago, a cardiologist said, yes, it's going to go in for clinical trials. Ethics committee approval is just being sought, so clinical trials are going to be started very shortly. So, you know, that's the way we're going.
Back to the Drawing Board was presented by Matthew Harvey and produced by Fergus Colville.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, Daniel plucks up courage. Who's that shouting at the back about time two? And Alistair has a helper. It's Ambridge Extra. Play that fiddle.
It's the New Year's Eve ball, man.
I haven't really thought about it.
All the sixth formers go to it.
Not all of them. Can I have the salmon, please?
It's traditional, Dan. Get dressed up like a penguin, ritual humiliation at the civic hall, fail to kiss someone at midnight, get completely leathered, and start the new year with a hangover and an abiding sense of shame.
You're really selling it to me, Geoff. Thank you.
It's got to be done. Pie, please.
Doesn't the humiliation start a long time ahead?
Well,
like actually persuading someone to go with you.
I'll go with you. Thanks.
A girl, I mean.
Okay, that might be a bit of a challenge for us mortals.
Weren't you going to ask Ellie Henderson? Oh, blew you out.
Big style. I went out on a limb and she took a chainsaw to it.
Ouch.
But am I downhearted? Well, yeah, I am actually. My poor broken soul may never recover.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gav.
You don't have that problem.
Why not?
You're already sorted, aren't you?
Oh, with Erin.
Duh.
Well, yeah. It's all going fine with Erin.
Lucky thing.
I mean, she's been a bit busy lately, but, you know, it's all right.
All right.
But I don't know if she even wants to go to the ball. We haven't spoken about
it. Well, now's your chance, mate.
What?
There she is, looking as fit as ever.
Gavin.
I'll sit with Millsy. Take bets on how much you can cram in that enormous gob of his.
But
go on. If you've got a date, it'll be easier for me to persuade some desperate woman to team up with us.
Oh. All right, then.
Brilliant.
Hi, Erin. You on your own?
Not anymore.
Oh, sorry.
No, I mean not now you're here.
Oh, I see.
Sit down, Dan.
Thanks. How was it this morning?
Chemistry. It was all right. Organic compounds.
Right.
You?
English.
Aren't you hungry?
Well...
Didn't think you ate fish because of the threat to the global fish stocks.
Oh, this is salmon. It's farmed.
Oh.
Although there are some environmental downsides. But... Well, never mind about that. Erin, I wanted to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
You know the New Year's Eve ball? The big one at the Civic Hall.
Mm.
Well, I was wondering if you were going. I mean, if you'd like to go. And if you did, like to go. If you'd like to go with me.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not assuming.
I'm not sure what we're doing. Mum and Rob and me, I mean.
Oh.
We sometimes go skiing over New Year. I'll text Mum and find out.
You sure you don't want anything, you sure?
I'm not hungry yet. I'll probably have something when I finish this plea for tomorrow.
Okay. What, you're in court tomorrow?
Yeah. Mm. You haven't really got time to make me lunch anyway. Haven't you got to be at the Elms soon?
Oh, 2 o'clock.
Planning the Christmas lunch arrangements?
Well, among other things. Then it's to Felpersham for a diocesan meeting. Oh, I still haven't looked at these letters.
The ones to Amy's great-aunt?
Yeah, they all seem to be from Catherine when she was on holiday or something. In the 60s.
That's a lot of holiday correspondence.
Yeah, well, they're all headed Falconwood. Maybe it's a B&B or a holiday camp they went to regularly or something.
You don't feel it's prying a bit into your late wife's business?
No, Actually, I feel quite privileged. You know, when she was alive, Catherine was never one for dwelling on the past.
Well, fair enough.
I wonder if you'd be as keen to read my childhood letters.
Dear Auntie Annie, thank you for your last letter. I'm glad the dress turned out all right. I'm quite well considering, but it is very cold at night here. Last week, two of the girls got in a fight and one had to go to hospital. The food here is really disgusting. I so miss your pumpkin rice and saltfish. We had a bed inspection today and I was punished because my blanket wasn't straight. Janice told me not to worry.
What on earth?
You all right?
A girl ran away, but they caught her at the station.
What? These letters, they're not holiday correspondence.
No?
No, this Falconwood place must have been some sort of institution.
Really?
Well, looking at the dates, Catherine must have been there for... Well, it's at least a year.
Well, did she say anything about this?
Not a word. I had no idea.
Oh, you poor thing.
Poor Catherine. What on earth could have happened to her?
Dan! Dan! Hang on!
Hi, Erin.
Just before you get your lift.
Yeah?
Mum texted back. We are going skiing, but they were thinking about half term.
So does...
In February. There's some company thing Rob has to be around for over Christmas.
Does that mean that...
So, I'll be here for New Year.
And...
Which means it's quite possible I might be going to the ball.
Quite possible?
If I can find a date, that is.
Oh.
I'll go with you, you muppet. If you're still asking, that is.
Yeah, of course I am.
Cool. Mwah. See you then.
Thanks. Awesome.
What are you doing, standing there with that daft smile on your face?
Hi, Gav.
What?
Erin said she'll come to the ball with me.
See? I said you were sorted. S-O-R-T-E-D. Erin snogging Dan on New Year's Eve.
Stop it.
At the ball, at the Civic Hall. Daniel's gonna... I can't think of anything else.
Good.
That smells good.
Just a chilli. I thought if I put it on now, it can simmer while I'm in surgery.
I must think of something different to cook when Erin's here. Is it tomorrow?
Thursday. Actually, Shula, I was thinking I might cancel it.
Really? Why?
I'm a bit concerned about Erin.
And what she's up to.
I mean, can she really afford to take so much time off school?
Well, she isn't on Thursday, is she? Isn't she just coming to surgery?
Well, yeah.
Well, that's after school. And the teachers wouldn't let her have time off if they were worried she'd fall behind.
Hmm.
She's not been a nuisance, has she, Alistair?
Not that way.
You've always said how helpful she is.
Oh, yeah, she's very helpful.
And quick to learn.
Yes, absolutely. Have you noticed if... Would you say she's a bit over-attentive?
Oh, I think it's nice for Daniel to have someone so keen.
Not to Daniel, to me.
She loves coming over here, doesn't she?
Do I have to spell it out?
Oh, I've used the last of the chopped tomatoes, by the way.
Oh, OK, I'll put them on the list.
We could do with more onions, too.
Or is this just middle-aged ego? Do I want her to fancy me?
How about chicken in cider?
Hmm?
For Erin.
Oh, yeah, sounds lovely. She's very comfortable in the company of adults, isn't she?
I think Daniel prefers that to some silly little girl.
Should I show her that text? Or would she just laugh at me?
Hiya.
Oh, hello, darling.
Hi.
Good day.
Awesome. Erin's going to the ball with me.
Sorry?
The New Year's Eve ball.
In Felpersham.
Oh, get a grip on yourself.
Yeah.
Well, that's a posh do, isn't it?
It's your imagination.
I mean, I can go, can't I?
If she's going to that with him.
I know I should have asked you first.
Of course you can. And we'll pay, won't we, Shula?
Yes, I suppose so.
Is it black tie?
Dinner jackets.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think it's about time you had your own dinner suit.
Really?
Alistair?
If you're going to be a lawyer, there'll be plenty of opportunities to wear one.
Suppose he hasn't stopped growing?
We'll just make sure it's not too snug. We can go and choose it together, Daniel.
You and me?
Yeah, if you like.
Cool.
Thank goodness for that.
Well, Alan, how long have you been home?
Oh, not long.
I was in the bathroom. Oh, you could have done without an afternoon of meetings after this shock you've had.
Yes, it has been a bit difficult to concentrate, I must admit. Do you know, I just can't understand why Catherine never told me anything about this. Whatever it was, love, it must have been a huge episode in her life.
What are you going to do?
Well, pray, obviously.
And speak to Mabel.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. That's one of the things I'm going to ask guidance on.
Well, surely she's the one who could tell you what happened with Annie dead. Probably the only one now.
Yeah, but this Falconwood, and it was clearly some kind of children's home. Now, I know it seems unbelievable, but suppose... Just suppose Catherine was taken away because Mabel was failing as a parent.
Mm, yeah. It's not the sort of thing you'd even want to suggest.
Well, obviously, Catherine went back to her mother, so whatever it was wasn't permanent, but you know, if I raise it with Mabel...
This is going to eat away at him.
Could open up a real mess.
I don't think just praying is the answer.
I'm really quite uncertain what would be for the best.
Look, why don't I help you go through Annie's boxes, see if we can turn up anything else?
So, if you'll have a look at Egypt.
Yeah, of course.
He's in his loose box. He just seems a bit out of sorts.
All right, if I have a cup of tea first?
As long as you're quick about it.
You want one too?
Oh, sorry. Lesson in 2 minutes.
Okay.
There was something.
Yeah?
Before Daniel gets home. You know his news yesterday?
News?
About the ball?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can't help thinking, if Erin's going to such a big event with him, it must be fairly serious.
I was thinking exactly the same thing.
And, well, as we've said, she is quite mature. I've been wondering about sex.
Well, that's a better offer than a cup of tea.
Them, I mean.
Yeah, I know.
No, I wonder if it might be an idea to have a little talk with Daniel about taking precautions.
Well, don't you think it's a bit late for that?
What? Do you think they've done it already?
No, I didn't mean that. It's just... Well, they'll have covered contraception years ago in PGCE or whatever it's called.
P-S-H-E. PGCE is what trainee teachers do.
Well, they definitely need to know about it.
Alistair, I'm being serious.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure Daniel understands.
The mechanics.
Yeah, but a gentle reminder about being sensible.
Not getting carried away in the heat of the moment. Yeah, I agree. I'll find a time and have a word.
Hello.
Hello, love. How'd it go?
Not guilty.
Oh, well done.
Alan.
Hmm?
When I got home, I started to look through Annie's things.
Yes?
I think you ought to sit down.
Why? What is it?
Please.
Usha?
I found a letter to Mabel from this Falconwood place. This is going to come as a shock, Alan. It was a children's home. But it was a secure one. I looked it up. It's in southeast London. There's a district called Falconwood and it's... Well, it was there. I'm sorry, Alan.
I can't believe it.
So, I don't think Catherine was simply taken into care.
What are you saying? She might have committed a crime?
Well, have been convicted, certainly. It doesn't necessarily mean that she did something wrong. Mistakes can be made.
She still spent a long time in that dreadful place. I had no idea.
I know. Well, I expect we could track down some sort of official record or maybe press cuttings.
No, please don't.
Well, I think you need to know what happened.
Yeah, but I don't want to learn about Catherine through some ancient press cuttings. I need to see Mabel.
Hey, Dad.
Evening.
Hi, Alistair.
Oh, hi, Erin.
Is it still okay for Erin to help you in surgery before supper?
Yeah, that's fine.
I've been really looking forward to it.
Well, you're in luck, actually. I've just had a farmer call me, Vince Hargreaves. He's got a ewe in labour that's having trouble, so he's bringing her here for me to do a caesarean.
Oh, brilliant!
You're really excited by that, aren't you?
Who wouldn't be?
Normal people.
That'll be awesome, Alistair.
Let's go and dump your things.
Okay.
Will you bring Erin round to the surgery?
Sure. You're a sick individual, you know that.
You just don't understand.
Great to see them jerking together. All that worry over nothing.
You didn't come up on that motorbike, I hope.
No, it's too long a trip at this time of year, Mabel. Bit nippy.
Good. I worry about you on that thing.
No, I'm very careful, I can assure you.
Now, you come to talk about Annie's house, I expect.
Well, partly.
Have you heard from the estate agents yet?
I've spoken to two, and they're going to go around and value the place next week, and then we can decide which one we'll put it on the market with.
All right, then.
But until they've been, there's not much for us to do.
You come all the way to Bradford to tell me that?
Actually, no. There's something I hope you can help me with. Something you can explain.
I'll do my best.
While I was sorting out Annie's things, I came across some letters that Catherine had written to her.
Letters?
I'll be frank, they came as a bit of a shock to me. They all come from a place called Falconwood.
I wouldn't know about that.
And then we found this letter from Falconwood, which is addressed to you.
How did you get this?
It was in a box of Annie's papers. And it says, Catherine would be released because they believed she now posed no threat to herself or others.
They should have been destroyed.
Mabel, had Catherine committed some sort of crime?
This is all in the past. Can't you let sleeping dogs lie?
I'm sorry, Mabel. I need to know. Had she?
Yes.
What was it? Mabel?
No good will come of this.
I think I've got a right to know.
Why do you want to go raking things up?
Babe, she was my wife. Now that I've found this out, you've got to be honest with me.
She was 14, and there was a girl in her class at school. Catherine attacked her.
Attacked?
Stabbed.
Catherine stabbed another girl?
It was bad. Very. They called it grievous bodily harm.
I can't.
She spent 2 years in that place.
Why did she? What on earth happened?
I don't know. She would never say. I asked her time and time again, but she wouldn't. She just. It just wasn't her. She would never. Not my Catherine. She was never violent.
I can't believe it.
She never did anything like that before or since. And when she came out, she never spoke about it. We tried to put it behind us, but it broke my heart. My sweet little Catherine.
Ah, this is good timing. Vince had to leave. Another you in distress.
Oh, he's having a bad day, isn't he?
So I need an extra pair of hands.
Shall I scrub up?
Yeah, please, Erin. You remember the procedure from last time?
No problem. I'll take this top off.
What?
It's all right. I've got a T-shirt underneath.
Calm down, Alistair.
Scrub right up to the elbows.
I remember.
And don't dry. While Erin's doing that, will you just hold her head, Daniel?
Hold her head? She's not going to be sick, is she?
Hey!
The ewe's head. Just while I put the local in.
Yeah, sure.
Are you sedated? take them?
Only if they're very lively. This one's been quite cooperative so far. So, Erin, I'm making several injections along the incision line. There we go. Thanks, Daniel.
No props.
Shall I take over?
Okay.
Hello, madam.
You can stay if you want, Daniel.
Well, I was hoping to get on with my homework.
Oh.
Then we can hang out after supper.
Okay, fair enough. It'll be fine.
I'm sure we can manage.
So...
Yeah, yeah, off you go.
Right, see you later.
See you.
Okay. So, we cover this surrounding area. And we clip that in place. And we're ready to start. Just need scalpel and forceps for this. It's quite a straightforward procedure.
I'm sure it is for you.
Okay. Here we go.
Can I ask something?
Of course.
How much would you charge for this?
Well, that's an interesting question. Farmers being farmers, there's often a bit of haggling. We settle on 75, including drugs.
That doesn't seem much.
I'm inclined to agree. But the farmer has to take into account how much he's going to make on the lambs, the age of the ewe, and so on.
It's very quick, isn't it? What you're doing, I mean.
Yeah, it is, I suppose. The suturing afterwards takes much longer.
Really?
But let's get the lambs out first before we worry about that. So, do you know what the peritoneum is? Done it in biology?
Oh, it's like a membrane around the abdomen.
Well done. Okay. There we are. Just get rid of those. Right. Now, as a vet, you get very used to identifying things by touch.
Could I just...
Oh, can't you see? Sorry, if you,
Yeah, can I just... Oh, yeah.
God, that's close. Is she...
This is absolutely fascinating.
No, she's just interested in the op. Concentrate. Okay. So, gently does it.
Oh, I'm so lucky to be able to see it.
I know this must be very upsetting for you.
And for you.
Well, yeah, it's come out of the blue, and I must admit I still don't know how to react.
Nor did we at the time.
Mabel, why did you never tell me about this?
It wasn't my story to tell. It was Catherine's secret. If she wanted you to know, she would have told you herself. It's not my place if she didn't.
Well, maybe she did want me to know. Perhaps she just hadn't found the right time.
She didn't tell no one else.
I was her husband. And surely after she died...
What? I could have told you a secret she took to the grave. And how would that have helped?
I'd have known the truth.
What truth? This one thing she did before she even met you? Or all the years she loved and cared for you?
They're both the truth.
You want me to betray her memory and change the way you feel about her forever?
I'd still have loved her.
It's not the same. Look at all the questions you got now. I can't answer them. Only she could answer them. And she's not here.
But something this big, it was bound to come out sooner or later.
Why would it? It was only because of those letters. Annie should have burned them. If I'd known Catherine had written them, I'd have burned them myself.
I feel like I've been kept in the dark by the whole family.
I can't help that.
It's like I couldn't be trusted to cope with the secret.
We were protecting Catherine.
Don't you think I wanted to protect her too?
And this is how you're doing it? By dragging up the past, dirtying her memory?
No, that's not what I wanted to...
She put that dreadful time behind her.
I just don't know how she could...
And you should do.
And that's number 6.
Wow.
There you go. Same drill.
Right. Clear the nose.
Is it breathing? Let's see. Yeah, that's fine. Give him a good rub. Well, that's the last, I'm pleased to say.
That was absolutely wonderful, Alistair.
Well, we haven't finished yet. I'll get Mum stitched up, then we can get some colostrum into the lambs.
You were brilliant.
Pop that one down with the others, Erin. I'll show you the suturing.
Okay. So this is the bit that takes longer, then?
Yeah, it is. Okay, so, uterus first. Now, what we're trying to do is to reunite the cut edges as neatly as possible.
Alistair?
Hmm?
6 lambs is unusual, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. I'm rather chuffed they all came out alive. Might mention it at Clinical Club.
Clinical Club?
Yeah, it's sort of vet's talking shop. We meet up at a pub and have some supper. Usually there's a visiting speaker, but next week's a case report evening where we talk about interesting cases.
I'd love to see that.
Well, people do sometimes bring students.
Do you think I could come along?
And they've normally already started their training, though.
I wouldn't get in the way or anything. It would be so cool.
Well, I don't suppose it would do any harm.
Please.
Yeah, all right then. I'll have a word with the club secretary.
It's a long way.
It's all right.
Why don't you stay the night, Alan?
No, thank you.
Spare room's made up?
No, I can't. I've got a very packed day tomorrow. Vicky's lot, I'm afraid.
You'd be very welcome.
No, it's all right, Mabel. I should be home by 10:30 at the latest.
Well, you take care.
I will. We'll see you at Christmas time.
Yeah, and give my love to Usha.
Yeah.
I'll pray for both of you.
Thank you. Well, bye then.
Bye.
And don't wait to wave me off. It's cold.
What a mess. How on earth could she? It's inconceivable. My Catherine. To take a knife and harm another human being. I can't. I could have helped her. You can't knock that sort of thing away and it not affect you. The cancer. Was it stress living with that dreadful memory? Catherine, why didn't you trust me? Did you think I didn't love you enough? That I couldn't have coped with it? Amy, how does she feel? She idolises her mother. What would this do to her? Oh, Lord, what should I do?
Ambridge Extra was written by Kerry Davis. It was directed in our Birmingham studios by Sarah Conkey, and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn. Ambridge Extra is back on Tuesday and Thursday, and again with the Omnibus next Sunday. Sherlock Holmes is taking his last bow on 4 Extra at the moment, so we sent our own intrepid Alan Smith to talk to the abridger and all-round Holmes expert, Bert Cools.
The Guinness World Records book lists Sherlock Holmes as the most portrayed movie character of all time. Each adaptation brings the part to life in a different way. So how did you approach these two characters?
If you say Sherlock Holmes to people today, their immediate thought is not of the character from stories, but of 100-plus years of accretions from those very performances that you talk about. One of the great basic stated aims of the radio series was to go back to the original, to look at the original with fresh eyes as much as possible, to find things in the original that had been smoothed out, that had been ignored, that had simply been lost in the welter of performances.
She was the last person to see him alive.
Please, Lestrade, she most certainly was not, unless you're suggesting that she murdered him.
No, sir, but you know what I mean.
Only through long practice.
There have been wonderful Sherlock Holmes movies, there's been wonderful Sherlock Holmes TV, radio, stage. But we wanted to cut all of those away and start again. We tried never in making the radio series to say, well, how did Basil Rathbone do that? How did they do that in the Christopher Plummer movie? How did they do that on stage with Jeremy Brett? We always said, how was that done in the story?
So how did you do that then? I mean, is it a question of language?
It's partly a question of language. It's partly a question of character. Holmes has been smoothed out over the years, often for public consumption. Holmes is a very unpleasant character in many, many ways. Holmes is self-centred. Holmes doesn't like people.
You must drop everything, Sherlock. Never mind your usual petty problems of the police court. This is a vital international concern. If you've a fancy to see your name in the next honours list...
I play the game for the game's sake.
Holmes only likes the clients who come to him because they come to him with problems. If he could have the problems without the people, he would do that in a heartbeat.
I'm not sure that that's enough.
Monday, and now goodbye, Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Holmes.
Yes, goodbye. Well, Watson, what do you make of it all?
Bert Coles was talking to Alan Smith, and Sherlock Holmes, His Last Bow, continues each weeknight in the Crime and Thrillers Hour at 8. You can catch the first episode on the BBC iPlayer.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, looking back to the very first day of the war, the broadcaster J.B. Priestley's observations from 1940. The reader is Patrick Stewart.
It's a lovely day tomorrow. Tomorrow is a lovely day.
Sunday, 1st of September, 1940. This is the last Sunday of the first year of the war. I want to go back tonight to the first Sunday. The very first day of the war. I'll close my eyes and then wait to discover that Sunday of a year ago. It's a queer process, this hurrying through the blackout of the closed eyes, to find at the other side the rich wonderland of memory, reflection, imagination. And now here I am. It's that Sunday morning a year ago. And I am on my way up from the Isle of Wight, where I've been busy finishing a novel called Let the People Sing, for it was arranged weeks before that I should broadcast the first chapter. So there I was, and it was an exquisite calm morning. The little voyage from Cowes to Southampton was pleasanter than usual, and the London road was very quiet. Nearer London, down the long hill from Bagshot, there did seem to be rather a lot of heavily loaded cars passing us, but nothing happened until we entered the long, narrow street of Staines. It was then, clean out of a quiet blue, that all the sirens screamed at us. Beneath the astonished noonday sun, people in steel helmets came hurrying, shouting and gesticulating. It was then I learned that we'd been at war for the last hour. Caught by surprise in this crowded little town, jammed with people and cars, I must confess to having a moment of very real fear. I didn't know what might happen. I was for a moment terrified by the thought that it might be the worst I'd ever imagined, or, indeed, something unimaginable. It is, of course, upon such fears that the dictators depend for most of their power. From the beginning, they've carefully taken into account other people's affections and decencies and have struck at the places from which a growing civilization has removed the armour. But no bombs fell that morning, and we continued our journey into London, now a strange city of sandbags and shelters. I knew then that the London I'd quitted so casually 6 weeks before had vanished forever. Then, after packing some things I wanted at my Highgate house in the middle of the afternoon, that hour so blank, colourless, tasteless on a hot Sunday, I rolled down through the long vacant roads of Kentish Town and Camden Town, which were as empty of life as old cities of the plague, into a Portland place, as quiet as a colour print, and then plunged like another Alice down her rabbit hole into Broadcasting House. There I seemed to have returned to the deep dugout life I'd once known among the chalk hills of the old French line. The idea of reading my comic chapter into a microphone there now seemed more preposterous than ever. But there, gasping and wheezing a little, I read it, as many of you probably remember. I was making my exit from London that evening by train from Paddington, and I never remember seeing streets so empty before. It was like going in a taxi through an immense deserted film set of a city, still illuminated by great yellow lights. Through this unreality, I carried within me a companion feeling of unreality, a rather chill sense of a dreamlike state. This didn't survive my entrance into Paddington, which was crowded and looked as if it had had 6 consecutive bank holidays. History was being made, and as I suspect is usual when history is being made, the place reeked of weary humanity. The platforms were thick with waste paper, half-eaten buns and empty bottles, and everywhere mothers appeared to be feeding their young. The trains, you felt, had no longer the old particular destinations. They were simply going, and perhaps would never return. As soon as my train pulled out, I was back again in that dreamlike state of mind. As we moved through the western suburbs, I stared up through the open window at the evening sky.